Well, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, if you're new, you're like, I didn't know about him. That voice. You're awake now, aren't you? I'm excited to be with you all. Paula, thank you for inviting me. As you all know, if you've ever tried to tell Paula no, it doesn't work, okay? And so I don't even try. But it's an honor to be with you all. A few of you have gone to my Facebook page, but there was a message that concerned me. Few people are out of town, and one person said to another, I'm going to be out of town, but invite Chris to lunch and take his keys and hold him hostage. Yeah, hostage taking ain't in the Bible. We're not supposed to do that, okay? So don't try to get my keys. My wife needs me with them three boys. But I'm honored to be with you all. The last time I was with you, I had been working on something for myself. I've been working on studying and something because I want to get better as a Christian. I don't know about you, but if you're expecting to hear from somebody that's got it down pat and that's perfect, well, you're at the wrong place with me today, because I got issues. Any of you got issues? Oh, I got issues. And so and as far as life coming, I've got my own, but the way I deal with it. So what I'm trying to do this year is I'm studying some things because I want to get better. Like, I don't want to repeat the same mistakes. I want to get better this year, and I want to do some things. So I had outlined something that I was studying with faith because I want to get better. And so when Paula called, she said, Chris, we'd love to have you back and speak. I said, great. You know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, I already got something I could share. She goes, we have a theme for the month. I was like, uh-oh. My outline may be going bye-bye. And she goes, well, it's on faith in motion. And I was like, thank you, Lord. My outline will work. So you've got something here in the bulletin, some fill-ins as we follow, but I think it's something that can help you as well, because I know I'm trying to help myself. But you guys know I have three boys. They're 6, 7, and 8, so I do need you to pray for me because they're busy. But I can remember a few years ago that they misplaced the remote for the TV. Now, they're young, right? But it was a dilemma that the remote was missing, because in their mind, there was no way we were going to be able to watch TV without the remote. Now, I'm old school. Some of you are too. You remember the days when you had to do what to turn the TV on? You had to get up and go up and do that clicking, right? Well, my kids are too young. They don't know. So they think if the remote is gone, then there can be no TV. So I told them, I said, guys, we watched TV the other day. The remote's in this house. I said, let's go look for it. And you all know how kids look, right? They took 2 steps to the right and looked, 2 steps to the left and looked, and didn't see a remote. They're like, Dad, we can't find it. I go, son, that's glancing. That's not looking. We need to move some stuff around and go look. So they go around, they look, still can't find it. So I use this opportunity, being the kind of dad that I am, to pick with them. I said, guys, I can still turn the TV on. And they just looked at me. They're like, Daddy, bless your heart. You're old and you've lost your mind. You can't turn the TV on. I said, fellas, yes, you can. I said, I promise you I can do it. So I went up, hit the button, and the TV came on. You would have thought I invented electricity. They were just like, how did you do that? I go, I know, Daddy has power. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt that. But the remote, and I thought about it, because there was chaos literally for about 20 or 30 minutes. And then I thought about it. I thought, you know what? We oftentimes treat our faith like that remote. See, we'll misplace it, forget where we put it, or even forget that we have it. And what kind of turmoil does that cause us in our lives? See, faith is not this thing that we put up on a shelf and it collects dust like an antique. And it's also not that gumball machine where you drop a quarter and a prayer in and turn it and wait for a blessing to come out. Faith is this thing that we need to have at the core of us. So as you look at your fill-in, are some things I want to walk through, because I think there are 4 things we can do with our faith, and I think there are 5 things that can get in the way of our faith. And so that's what I want to spend time talking with you about today. But I want to read you a few scriptures, because these are things that I was studying myself prior to Paula calling me. And it was one of those things, as I told you, I have issues, I struggle, I'm not perfect, but I want to get better. So how do I get better? Well, I need to understand, what is faith? What does the Bible say about it? 1 Peter 1:6-7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. There are a few things that jumped out at me. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. And you think about the word genuine. It's oftentimes for me, I thought about times when people ask you how you're doing. You know the difference between someone that's generally concerned with how you're doing versus someone that's asking as they pass, aren't you? If someone is genuine, they look you in the eye and they ask you, how are you? And you'll answer them and they're listening to what you're saying. But if somebody that's just strolling by and they're using it as just this greeting, right? They don't really even hear what you're saying. You could tell them I'm terrible and they'll say, oh, that's good. Because they didn't really hear you. It wasn't a genuine thing. I'm not knocking them. They maybe weren't focused at the time, but a genuine person that asks you how you're doing is looking at you in your eye. So how do we look at it and we think if we've got to have a genuine faith, to me, that's one of those things that it's the start point. It's not like the remote where we should misplace it or forget where we have it, but we know we have it. I think it needs to be one of those things that we grab first thing in the morning before our feet hit the ground. We're asking the Lord to give you the strength and the courage to face whatever may come today, but you're rooted in that faith. You know that for sure. And there's another scripture. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, period. Now you hear that and you go, oh, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think that lets us know in the hierarchy where faith needs to be. Without it, we can't please him. It goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe he exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. And now as you look at your bulletin, these next two are in there. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then 1 Corinthians 2:5, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. The men's wisdom part really struck me because I thought back, those of you that were here the last time I spoke, you know, my youngest son, Case, has a rare genetic disease. Life expectancy is between 12 and 15 years of age for the extreme versions of this disease. And I keep thinking back to this, so your faith might rest not on men's wisdom, but on God's power. The doctors came in and they told us this information rather dryly. And I remember thinking and praying, and I went through a terrible process, you all. I didn't handle it well. I struggled, to be honest and transparent with you. And some of you are at that place or have been there and you know what I'm talking about. And so we look at that and we have to remember, yes, we don't want to rely solely on the wisdom of men. We want to trust solely in the sovereignty and the power of God. So our faith needs to be this thing that we exercise, not this antique we just sit up, but it is something that is practical and tactical as we deal with life. And so we think about this and we look and we go, okay, so there are four things as we look in your bulletin that I want to talk to you about that we can do with faith. And these are things that I'm studying, like I said, and I'm trying to get better at because I have issues. As life comes, I forget and I try to think that I can fix things. Any of you all ever been there? Oh, I got quiet in here. Where you try to grab a hold and you start trying to maneuver and to make it go the way you want to go. One of the things that I've learned in faith is that it's gotten me to slow down a little bit. The last time I was here, I had the sign, be still and know. But as I look at things, as life is coming, I want to understand, what do I need to learn from it? For example, I was just recently at the hospital at Vanderbilt. A good friend of mine had a terrible motorcycle accident. And he broke both legs, broke both arms, and he shattered his pelvis. He had to endure a 10-hour surgery for them to piece back his pelvis. And he's got a metal bar that's going through him, holding him in place. I went up to the hospital to visit with him, and I walk in the room, and he's laying there, and he turns and he sees me. He goes, hey, Chris, how are you? I go, buddy, I'm glad to see you. I said, how are you? Now, he didn't say what I expected, because, I mean, if anything, I think he earned the right to pout, wouldn't you say? I mean, he should be able to rattle off an hour-long thing of everything that's wrong and how mad and upset he is. And you know what? I'd have been right there with him if I were in his shoes. See, he's been in the hospital for 30 days, laying there. And as every time he was talking, I kept hearing this helicopter in the background. And I kept hearing it and hearing it. I finally asked him, I said, what is that? He said, that's life flight coming in. He goes, that's the very thing that they flew me in on. That's what saved my life. Because he needed a gallon of blood, you all. That's how much blood he lost. Now, to give you the rest of the text, the context behind my friend's story, a week prior, they had just had a son. And he told me, he goes, Chris, I lay here and I've had a lot of time to think. He goes, and I got to get some things. I got to get my priorities straight. And I was just looking at him and his eyes started to tear up. He goes, you know, buddy, he goes, what I want to do is get these casts off because I just want to hold my wife and hold my child. See, they bring the baby in and they sit it up on him by his shoulder and he's able to feel him and look at him and talk to him a little bit. But I thought to myself, as he said that, I was moving my hands and my legs started to tingle because I'd been whining about something earlier that day. You all whine at all? And I'm standing there and I'm going, wow. He said, I've had time to think. I need to get my priorities straight. He said, God is good. Now this man is laying here with a bar holding his pelvis together. Doctors are telling him that they think in all probability he will walk again. And he told me that and I said, Matt, I know you and I know how hard you work. I know you'll walk again. I know you'll focus and you'll do whatever it takes. But I left out of that hospital with a different view. See, whatever I was whining about when I walked in, I had forgotten about on the way out because I just had a reality check. There was nothing I really needed to complain about because I was walking out of that hospital on my own two legs, holding my car keys in my hand, and I was going home to see my family. I tell you that because I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what you're dealing with at all. But what I do know is that faith is the one thing that if we don't have it and have it readily accessible and know where to locate it, we'll struggle. We'll struggle more than we need to. And so as we look at these four things, I want to encourage you, think about where you are, but I think they're reminders. I think they're good reminders. The first one is, of the four things you do with faith, is to simply have it. Have it. Have it and know you have it. If you're not sure, you're not rooted yet, then you need to get firm today and have it. Know that you know without a doubt. And the note I have in here is you have confidence in God versus the confusion of the world. Now, that confidence in God is not of the things. I don't know about you, but I have questions. Any of you all have questions? Oh, y'all lying. You know you got questions because I ask God some questions, hard ones too. And so I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, if I have confidence in God, then I can't get caught up in the confusion of the world. His timing is not my timing. It is not. I mean, I know that without a doubt. But if I can look at things now and know and I trust in him without a shadow of a doubt, that I know now I'm able to look at situations and try to understand, what is it I'm supposed to learn in that? I think visiting with my friend at the hospital, it was that I needed to be more focused on joy than on complaining. That I have more than I lack. And so I saw him and it gave me perspective. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, I've got to have my faith. I've got to have it with me all the time. Number two is I've got to hold on to it. Hold on to your faith. Regardless of what comes, that needs to be the one thing that you first grab and you hold on to. Don't let it be like the remote control. We've got so many things buzzing and ringing and dinging these days that we get caught up and we get sidetracked. And so if we can look at it and know that if I'm going to hold on to my faith, then I need to understand something. And this is the point. Being connected with God will cause disconnect from certain people, places, and things. That if you're going to be with him and you're going to walk with him, some of the places you used to go to, some of the people you used to hang out with, they're not going to be able to hang with you anymore. And the thing of it is that you have to be okay with that. I think as Christians, we don't have to act like we're better than the world, but we do have to stand apart from the world. We do have to be able to talk to those people, but to help them understand who the Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ is. But it's okay to be disconnected from some things, because if those things aren't aiding you or helping you in your faith or to show your faith, then they need to go away. The third one is show it. Being able to understand that I am going to show my faith each and every day. And I think we do that by being an example when we're walking through whatever it is we're walking through. I want to be able to show it. Like early on with Case's diagnosis, I did a horrible job. I threw a pity party. You all ever thrown a pity party? It was a pretty big party. I mean, it wasn't very fun. But I had little streamers and little things and just felt as sorry for myself as I could. And I looked at it, and I did. I really did. I struggled for almost a year and a half with that after he was diagnosed. Wasn't really a pleasant person to be around. On the outside, I looked like I was okay. You ever been there? Put on the face on the outside that everything's all right, but internally you know you are struggling to your core. With Case's situation, I began to look at it, and first and foremost, I could not put his disease on me because this little boy is the one that had it. But as his father, I start to look at it now that I'm aware, and I look at it and I go, what do I need to learn from this? I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt. That little boy's diagnosis has grown his daddy up. Like, I don't complain about weather anymore. I'm not worried about traffic much. All right, this is a church. I said much. All right, because I don't know what they were doing out here on 65, okay? All they did was move the bottleneck down a mile and a half, all right? I need to have a meeting with somebody, all right? Yeah, we'll start a support group here in a minute. We'll sign some petitions, right? So instead of being stuck at 96, I'm just a half mile down, right? But I look at things a little bit differently now. What I'm trying to do is understand what is it I'm supposed to learn? But moreover, what am I supposed to be an example of now? If I know this, and if I know my God is real, and I trust in him 125%, then as life comes, what am I supposed to do? I think I'm supposed to always love him, and I'm supposed to be an example. That's that showing the faith. I put in here that sorrow looks down, worry looks all around, but faith looks up. Having that you know that you're rooted in that. I'm not telling you you're not going to have questions or you're not going to have things that come up, but I just want you to look up. I wasted a year and a half where I could have been a witness, and I was too busy being a victim with Case's situation. I could have been a witness, the opportunity to talk about it and openly talk about it, but say, you know what? God is good. And I trust in him, and I love my son, but my God loves him more than I do. And so I have faith in that. And the last thing I want you to do with your faith is, and this one's big, is to be able to share it. I put in here, have the courage to share your walk. And men, you know what I'm talking about. We don't ever want to appear weak or like we're struggling with anything. I caught myself just the other day, my son fell down on his bicycle and he got up and he was crying. And I said, son, suck it up. And he looked at me, he goes, daddy, I'm bleeding, okay? And I looked at it, you all, it was a little bitty spot of blood, okay? The boy acted like he needed a transfusion. Okay, but I realized for him, he was hurt. I didn't need to tell him to suck it up. I needed to hug him and tell him it's going to be all right. And so you look at that and you think, yeah, I need to share the walk with other people. I have an uncle. I wasn't sure. My grandmother passed away back in 94. Wasn't sure where he stood with the Lord. He didn't go to church a lot since then. And it was one of those things that kept nagging on me. Have you ever had the Lord put something on you? And you just are not going to get peace until you do it. And it kept, was one of those things, talk to Michael. That was my uncle. Talk to Michael. And I thought, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord was like, talk to Michael, right? And I told you four times, boy, you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So I called my uncle, and we were talking with him and sat with him. I said, Michael, are you good with the Lord? And he said, yeah. He goes, yeah. He goes, I've struggled, but I'm good with him. I said, okay. And it was one of those things where then I had peace. But in doing that, I had to have the courage to be able to ask him about it. And so with you, if you have a family member or a friend that you're not sure about, have the courage to share your walk. I think if we can talk about the good things and give God the glory, and we talk through the difficult things, but we still give God the glory, and even though we walk through the hard things, we still want to give God the glory all the way around. Now remember, to be able to have courage, you've got to be willing, right? You all remember me talking about comfortable, don't you? Nod, it makes me feel fuzzy. You don't remember. Remember what I told you, comfortable. Was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comfortable nailed on that cross? That wasn't comfortable. Instead, we have to choose to be effective as Christians. Don't choose comfort, choose effective. So if you've got a family member that you're not sure about, or you have a friend you're not sure about, ask them if they know the Lord and be able to share with them often. And if you're constantly giving God the glory in the great things and then the tough things and then the really difficult things, that friend is going to be able to see you as a witness because you're not wavering in your faith. You're dealing with life, and life brings issues. Now, I think there are five things that can get in the way of our faith as well. And so I'm going to give you these. The first one, the A, is for anger. Have you ever been angry at a situation? Oh, it got quiet. Angry. Anger can get in the way of our faith because now we're upset that things didn't go the way we wanted them to go, or people didn't do what we wanted them to do. So automatically anger can set in. That can be a dangerous thing with our faith. The second one, D, is for depression. We can start to get so frustrated and down that we can enter into a stage of depression because things didn't go the way we wanted, or because of a life situation that's occurring. And I'm not saying that that's something that can be avoided. I'm saying we have to be aware of it. The third one, the F, is for fear. Having fear about the outcome of something. Now, you all know as Christians, we're taught never to worry, aren't we? Right? We can be really, really, really concerned, but we ain't never supposed to worry. And so you look at that and you think, if I've got fear about a situation, that can get in the way of my faith as well. Because the fear can grow so big that it can make me forget about my faith. The next one is the W, is for worry. Being so worried about something, about the outcome. Being so concerned and being really consumed with it that we forget about our faith and we get caught up in the confusion of life. And the last one is pride. We have pride. That can get in the way of our faith. I think for me, especially with Case, it was this awareness, as the doctor said, he'll never be able to play sports, or he won't be able to do these things. And automatically, I kept thinking about what I just lost instead of my son. Not talking to the opportunity for him to be able to play. And by the way, he is playing in a special needs baseball league, all right? And I'm so proud of him. Now, the boy has no sportsmanship at all, okay? I'm just gonna tell you. If the ball comes within 10 feet of him, he's getting it, all right? He's pushing other kids out of the way, and I'm like, son, you're not supposed to do that. He said, daddy, ball. I go, that's my child, isn't it? That takes after his daddy. So we pray for him and his sportsmanship, please. But instead of these five things, I want to give you the opposite of these things, or some things you can do instead of these five. So if you have anger hit, or you have depression hit, or fear, or worry, or pride, I want to give you something proactive to do. Because I'm one of those hard-headed people. I need tangible things. I want a checklist. That's why you see me give you a list of things, because I learn better that way. So instead of anger, I want you to have awareness. I want you to have awareness that you're not in control anyway. You can't control other people, so there's no sense you being angry. You can't make traffic speed up. You can't make people do certain things. The only thing you can control is you. So don't be angry. Be aware that I don't have control, that the Lord's in control. Instead of being depressed, I want you to have dependence. Depend on God for your strength. I promise you, he won't let you down. Humans will let you down. They will disappoint you because they're human, but God won't. So have dependence on him. Instead of having fear, I want you to have focus. What I want you to do is to look at the situation and think, Lord, what is it I'm supposed to learn from this? What is it that's going on that I need to either be able to step up and do or be aware of? But I don't have time for fear. Fear is never productive. But if I can focus on God, he can give me the strength or the awareness of what I need to do in this situation. And instead of worry, what I want you to do is have willingness. Willingness to surrender supposed control that you don't have anyway. And I want you to focus on that. And instead of pride, I want you to have prayer. I want you to be able to pray about your concerns and be able to have that on your side and be able to do it. Now, you'll see some notes down at the bottom that I want to leave you with. The first is, I don't let all the things that happened in your past discourage all the things that can happen in your future. Let some stuff go. I don't know what you went through, and I don't know what you came from. I know you're here today, live and breathing, and you have an opportunity for a new day to be able to move forward. Some stuff we just need to let go. And you look at that in the second one. There may be things that are not going like we want, but if you can look back at the many things that went further than previously expected, we look at that, and we always want to gauge things for the here and the now. But you've been blessed. I tell people all the time, it's so hard to be hateful when you're grateful. And as you look at your life and you look at it, you go, Lord, you know what? I have more than I lack. I have more than I even deserve, because we know what we deserve, don't we? We deserve hell. as sinners. That's what we deserve. But through grace and through God's love and mercy, we have an opportunity to move forward again. And then the final one, God has the ability to do things in your life, for your life, and through your life, for you and others. The key is we want to be willing. We want to have our faith around. Don't misplace it like the remote control. Don't wonder where it is. We may misplace our keys or our phone or our wallet, but the thing we want to do is we don't ever want to misplace our faith. Because what I want to encourage you to do, and this is what I'm working on, I've got a sign up at my side of my bed, grab your faith. And before my feet hit the floor, that's what I pray for. Lord, give me the courage to be faithful, to have faith and to show it and to be an example and with everybody I come in contact with today. That's the first thing I want to grab. Before I grab anything else to put on, I need to make sure my faith is with me. And I think if we'll do that, as we're walking through the year, we'll get better. As life comes, we'll know. The first thing I want to do is I have my faith and I'm holding it. And I'm going to be able to talk and I'm going to be able to walk through this, but I'm going to give God the glory every step of the way. And so if we do that, I think we'll save ourselves some frustration, some irritation, because we are. We're all pressed by problems. We're irked by issues, right? And we have things going on, but we look at it, if we think, if I've got my faith and it's this practical thing, instead of this antique up on a shelf, I'm going to get through life a little bit smoother. I'm going to have an understanding and I'm going to be able to be calm even in the storm. Pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come back and to share. I ask that we bless each and every person here. I ask that you bless them and I ask that you bless every family that's represented here. Give us the courage to be what you've designed us to be. Help us to understand your love and to know that we have to trust in you wholeheartedly. Help us to be able to have our faith. Help us to be able to hold on to our faith. Help us to be able to show our faith and share our faith every step of the day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all very much.